Bibles, please turn to Romans chapter 10. Very familiar portion of scripture. We're going to be taking a look at verses 9 to verse 17. I'm going to ask you once again to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For as Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I've asked Brother Donnie if he would please pray for me and also for the sermon.
Father, we thank you for the coming to the presence again, Lord. We pray that maybe you'll give Brother there. He has a physical need that's just going to make him turn some, Lord. But I pray you'll give him the strength, Lord, to get through this message. I pray, Lord, that you would listen attentively to your word. And Lord, just bless this congregation today and bless all that Dr. Litter has prepared for us through the Holy Spirit. We ask you, Lord, to take care of this, Lord. We're needy people, Lord, and we need you each and every day. We need you to help us live the life that would be pleasing you. So be with Dr. Litter today and be with us in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, the physical problem that I have had all week that Donnie has prayed about is I have a sore on my tongue, okay? And anybody who's had that, when you rub it up against your teeth, you know, it's uncomfortable. So please pray for me that I might overcome the discomfort. Please pray for me that I might be able to speak clearly for the message, okay? And pray most of all for anyone who is in this sanctuary right now who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. The most important thing in every individual's life is that they come to know Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you. Appreciate that. A number of years ago, Roxanne and I were visiting some relatives. And the man of the house wanted us to listen to an interview. The interview had to do with a contemporary Christian songwriter. Now, when I say contemporary, I use it in the sense of modern, new, recent. I don't know what genre of music he really cared for. In this testimony, this interview, he was telling about how different individuals were ask him, are you born again? And he always had the same answer. Which time? Are you born again? Which time? And then he'd give a little story. Are you born again? Which time? And he'd give a little story. Are you born again? Which time? And he'd give yet another little story. This individual thought that he could re-ask Jesus to be his Savior over and over and over again. Now, I did not say anything to our host. I already discerned from him that he believes the same thing. He may have been wanting me to listen to the interview to try to convince me that that side is right. Well, I went to the Word of God. I'm not going to ask you your personal opinion. Does a person have to ask Jesus to be their Savior over and over and over and over? I'm not going to ask you. I'm not even going to give you my personal opinion. The Word of God tells us all the truth. Now, we may not see it in the English, but I happen to know a little bit of Greek. Okay? Well, a whole lot more than you do. Okay? No insult intended. Okay? Just a fact. So let me today tell you what the Greek language says about receiving Jesus Christ. Are you open to it? All right? We're going to start with John chapter 1. And if you take notes, the title on my message is My Wonderful Salvation. And I do mean my wonderful salvation. As I understand the Word of God, it's precious. It's wonderful to me. And I trust that after this message, your salvation will be much more wonderful to you as well. Now, John chapter 1, verse 12, and it is my favorite salvation verse in all the Bible, other than John 3:16. It reads, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now, I want to focus in on that word, received. A lot of people talk about believing on the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's important. The word believe is here in verse 12. But I emphasize receive. That Greek word has the idea of take hold of. Okay? When you take hold of something, it becomes your own possession. That idea of received can be illustrated by somebody coming to your door and knocking. And what do you usually say? Usually, unless it's a Jehovah's Witness. Come on in. And what do? You receive them. Well, that's exactly what we do when we ask Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Or that's what we ought to be thinking of. I am receiving him into my life. Now, I don't want to get too far off the subject, so I'll move on. In the Greek language, now you're not going to have to remember this, and you're not going to get a test on it or anything like that, okay? There's different usages of verbs, all right? We got the same thing in English. We got the past tense, the present tense, the future tense, and we got some other tenses in there. The one I want to focus on with the Greek is present tense and something called aorist tense. You may never have heard about that before, okay? In present tense, it means something that keeps on going continuously. It's an action that goes over and over and over again. The aorist tense refers to a one-time action. Is that hard? Is that hard? All right? All right, let's illustrate the present tense one more time, okay? You know geometry, okay? In geometry, you got the line. And the line does what? Keeps on going. We put arrows on the end of both of them because it never ends. In the aorist tense, okay, it's illustrated by the period. That's why I said, all right? It's done. It's finished. It's one time. Now, guess what tense this word received is? Aorist tense. Okay? One time, and it's over with. It's finished. Over in John chapter 3, we have a visitor for our Lord Jesus Christ. His name is? Are you awake? His name is what?
Nicodemus.
Okay, that's why I ask these questions, to make sure that you're awake. Okay? And Nicodemus starts to flatter Jesus, but Jesus gets right to the point. I don't have all day here. You must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. Okay? Now, let's go back to Nicodemus's birth. How many times was he born? One time. No woman on earth is ever going to let that child go back to be born again. No, ain't going to happen. All right? So if you have to be born again and you're born only one time, how many times do you have to be born again? Once. Aorist tense. Okay? Let me use another illustration for that present tense and aorist tense. Okay? Think of your phone and you're taking a picture. Now you can take like a video type thing, right? It goes on and on and on and on and on as you want. Present tense. Then the aorist tense. That's like the snapshot. Caught in time. All right? If you keep that in mind at all times. Let me go back to that receive business. I got an illustration of it that I like to use. Let's say that you've got a very wealthy aunt. Don't we all wish? And she lives down there in D.C. And she gives you a telephone call. And she says, I haven't given you a birthday present in years. I got a birthday present for you. I'm going to bring it to your house. And you clean up the house, make it look sparkling, all right? And she comes to the door, and you're very polite. She's not your favorite aunt, but it is today, all right? And she comes in, and you give her the best seat in the house, and she's got your present right there on her lap. How long does this have to keep on going, you know, being sweet and kind, okay? Yeah, you're eager. Is that your present when it's on her lap? No. Finally, the time comes. Here is your present. And what do you do? Oh, no, not real. I can't take it. Okay? You know, I'm not worthy of it, right? Is that what you do? Give it to me. All right? Take it. God gave his son, and he died on the cross. And he is there in front of every individual on this earth. Yes, I said every individual. Even the heathens. Even those who have false religions. And what God says, here is my son. Take him. And all we have to do is actually we pray. But when we're praying, we're reaching out. And we're taking that son and making him our own. We receive him. So vital, so important, and it's a one-time experience. But after I looked at John chapter 1, verse 12, I wasn't satisfied. Can't have just one portion of Scripture teaching this. Got to look at another one. So I went over to Acts chapter 16. Acts 16. Now, this is the time that Paul and Silas are in the jail at Philippi. All right? You know that story. And the jailer comes to Paul and Silas and says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Verse 31. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Then he added a promise, "and thine house." We're going to concentrate on that word believe. Is it in the present tense? Do you have to go over it and over it and over it, receiving Jesus Christ multiple times? Or is it in the aorist tense? Okay, what do you think? You are correct. You see how easy this is? You could learn Greek, okay? No problem at all. It's in the aorist tense. And what's even more, now that we can bring a little bit of English grammar into it, it's an imperative, okay? Now, who might be able to tell me what's an imperative? Command, all right? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? We could say it that way. You have to do this. We live in a day and age where everybody thinks that they can do and be and believe whatever they want. And when we come across forcefully, believe on the Lord Jesus, well, you narrow-minded thing, you. You want to act like there's only one way to get to heaven. You got it. That's right. Only by receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. By the way, I don't care what Oprah has to say. Did you know what Oprah has to say? I saw the clip of it. One woman in the audience was saying that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And Oprah said, he can't be the only way to heaven. She's on her way to hell. Because unless you have Jesus as your Savior, do you remember Cornelius in Acts chapter 10? A quote-unquote godly man praying, but God had to send an angel and said, you got to go to my servant Peter. He's got more information for you. If you don't believe in Jesus, you don't have salvation. And even though Cornelius was a great guy, he had to hear the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when he did, he believed, and then he was gloriously saved, and all his household and his friends. Okay, now we've got two illustrations, but let's go for a third one. How does a lawyer win a case in a courtroom? By the preponderance of the evidence. Do you know what that means? More evidence, more evidence, more evidence. Go over there to Romans chapter 10, verse 13. And that was the portion of scripture that we read. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, we're going to focus on that word call. That's the verb. Present tense, aorist tense. Aorist tense. How many times do you call on the Lord? One time. You call on the Lord. You believe in your heart. Now, are there people who fake it? Are there people who pray a prayer, but they never really meant it? Are they really saved? In time to come, their lives are going to prove that no, they never really received Jesus Christ as their Savior. When we really call and we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that is when we're truly saved. And how soon are we saved after we call on the Lord? Immediately. Peter asked the Lord, can I walk on the water to you? Come on. And he was coming, and then he got his eyes off the Lord. He got his eyes on those waves. He started to sink. How many times did he have to call, Lord, save me? Lord, save me? Lord, save me? No, one time. And even though there may have been 50 feet in between the two, boom, the Lord was right there. Got his hand out and was pulling Peter up out of the waves. Okay? There's something else in that verse I want to point out to you. There's yet another kind of usage in the Greek. It's called middle tense. And in the middle tense, it emphasizes that the person himself is doing the action, whatever action it is. In this case, calling out to the Lord. So this verse is saying that the individual himself calling for the Lord shall be saved. Do you understand the significance of that? Does every person have to ask Jesus to be their Savior? Yes. He has to do it. Now, there's another little usage in the middle tense. Not only does it mean that the person who wants to do the action has to actually do the talking, but he's also doing it for himself. Lord, save me. Yeah, I'm worried about Uncle Bob and Aunt Susie, okay? But right now, save me. It's for me I want salvation. You know, there's something called Calvinism. And Calvinism says that God has elected people. And it's kind of like the idea, one of these days, the people are going to wake up and say, I'm saved. Yesterday, I wasn't saved. But today, God saved me. Did they receive Christ as Savior? No. Are they still a drunkard? Possibly. Okay? But they just wake up to the idea that they are saved. No. This verse says that every person needs to call on the Lord for himself. Each person has to call. By the way, take a look at that verse again. It says, whosoever will. I got challenged by a Calvinist one time. He asked, where does it say in the Bible, whosoever will? Right here, Romans chapter 10, verse 13. You can read it for yourself. And whosoever will means whosoever will. There was a Calvinist by the name of Richard Baxter. I liked what he had to say. He believed in election, predestination and all that. But he wrote in his memoirs, I love the word whosoever will. I love that. Because if the Bible had said, if Richard Baxter would call on the name of the Lord, I would think that he's talking about another Richard Baxter, not me. But when it says whosoever will, then he's talking about this Richard Baxter. The worst of all Richard Baxters. Okay? I like that. Whosoever will. Don't any of you fall to Satan's lie that you can't be saved. Just don't fall to that. The thief on the cross, just minutes away from death, called on the Lord. And what was that promise? I'm not going to save you, in the future when I come to my king. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, I trust that you are being blessed by this message, being blessed by the word of God. And I trust that you now believe, yes, the Bible says I only have to receive Jesus as my Savior one time. Wonderful salvation. But there's another one. There's another blessing. God's salvation is wonderful because it's an ongoing experience. Go back to John chapter 1, verse 12. God's salvation is wonderful because it's an ongoing experience. I want to thank you for your prayers. Keep praying for me. I'm able to keep on going. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, I'll tell you right up front, that word believe, that verb believe, is not in the aorist tense. That word believe is now in the present tense. Meaning that once we have Jesus Christ as Savior, we need to keep on believing. We need to keep on showing that we have Jesus Christ as Savior. Brother Bill, I appreciate what you had to say in Sunday school today about good works. After a person receives Christ as Savior, we need then good works. James chapter 2, verse 14 and 17. Faith without works is dead. We have no idea whether we have faith or not. But by the way, Brother Bill, and I know you agree with me on this, the works have to be based on our faith. Now, that's the thing that we can have a little problem with. Am I doing this out of my own will, or am I really trusting the Lord? And now, I struggle with that, and I'm leaving it in your court also. You've got to struggle with it. You've got to make certain your good works are based on faith. That's what James says. But we need to continuously show that we believe on the Lord. Now, even when I was in the pastorate and I was preaching this way, we need to demonstrate our salvation. I was afraid that somebody was going to challenge me and called me a heretic. But I'm telling you, based on the Word of God, it seems as though that's what God wants us to do. We persevere in our faith. Not that our perseverance saves us, but our perseverance shows that we truly have faith in the Lord. Those individuals who think that they have to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, I understand them. I understand why they think they have to ask Jesus Christ to be their Savior. But I've come to believe there's two reasons why they think they have to do it. One, they don't really believe the Word of God. They have rejected all the promises of God's Word. God's Word says, you receive me as your Savior, you're saved. That's it. And they kind of say, no, that's not what my grandmother taught me. Yes, people say that. Okay? Get back in the Word of God and believe the Word of God. Second, they're also caught up in a sinful lifestyle. And that sin is always in front of them. And they just can't believe that they're saved the way that they're living. Some months, years ago now, we invited Roxanne's sister and her husband to come to church. Now, we had done that before. They never did it. We were really surprised when they showed up at the back door there. They actually came, and they sat down alongside of us. And Pastor Gentry talked to Roxanne after he had given the invitation. We had some other kind of business that we had to take care of. And so Roxanne went out with her brother and sister. Anyhow, Pastor Gentry said, your sister raised her hand during the invitation time. And Roxanne was like, huh, but she already made a profession when she was a teenager. So later on, we were going to spend Thanksgiving with them. And Roxanne brought it up. Why did you raise your hand? She said, here's what her sister said. I know that I received Jesus as my Savior when I was a teenager. But my lifestyle now doesn't show that I'm really following Jesus. Those are my words. You understand where she is coming from. She doubted her salvation because of her lifestyle. If you doubt your salvation, why is it? Do you not believe God's word? Or are you not living in accordance to what the scriptures have to say? I believe that those are the two reasons why you doubt it. There's many places in the scriptures which say we have to continually live for the Lord, showing that we have Christ as Savior. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 6. Now in the English it reads, "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him." Now that's the English. Let me tell you what the Greek says about those verbs. Those verbs are in the present tense. So I want to give you the sense of the words. So hang on there, okay? I'm going to try to read slowly so that you can grasp it, all right? Whosoever continually abides in him. Got it? Continually sinneth not. If you're continually living in Jesus Christ, you are continually not sinning. Whosoever continually sinneth, you got that right, hath not seen him, hath continually not seen him, has never seen him, neither continually knoweth him. Boy, doesn't that put a different perspective on the scriptures? Okay? I preached on this in the church that commissioned us to go to Africa. And one woman came afterwards and said, "Boy, that was a new teaching I've never heard before." But this is important. Meditate on this verse with the sense that I gave to you. That's how important it is that we not continually be found in sin. Now, are we going to sin, though? Romans chapter 7, verse 15. The Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, I greatly admire him. He said, "For that which I do, I allow not." I don't do the things I know I'm supposed to do. For what I would, that what I really want to do, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. We've all been there. We know that it's true. We confess our sin and we trust that we can overcome it, but it's not the easiest thing to do. I love my salvation. Do you? Amen. My wonderful salvation. It's wonderful because it's a one-time experience. It's wonderful because it's a continual experience. Okay? But three, God's salvation is wonderful because it belongs to the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. Turn to Acts chapter 16, verse 30 again. We're taking a look at that jailer. Once again, I want to say thank you for your prayers for me. Keep on praying. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What was his mistake? Nobody can get salvation by themselves. That's what his mistake is. We have another usage in the Greek, okay, for the verb, passive tense, okay? When is salvation going to come upon me based upon what I do? Well, nothing that we do will ever give us salvation. I like to illustrate this with a roofer. Let's imagine that a roofer is working on a steep roof. Let's say it's 9 by 12. Okay? Anybody who works on a 12 by 12 is either out of their mind or much braver than I am. That is steep. It's a 9 by 12. And the roofer slips on some wet shingles, and he slides down the roof, and he saves himself by catching hold of the rain spout by his fingernails. And while he's hanging there, the nails, the studs, are coming out one by one. Okay? And here comes a worker. Hold on! Grab my hand! I'll save you! Another one down on the bottom. Hold on! I'm bringing the ladder! And he shouts, hanging on by his fingernails, oh, that's okay. I can save myself. Yeah, right. Just like that roofer cannot save himself, you can't save yourself out of heaven. Into heaven. You are out of hell. You have to rely on the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord, not us. Okay? The Lord's salvation is not at all dependent on our good works. And here, Brother Bill beat me to the punch. But I'm going to go over it again, Brother Bill. The Bible tells us, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. If you are at all relying on your good deeds, you're hanging on to a rain spout that's collapsing. It's not going to work. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. That's our memory verse. Okay? But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Spirit. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. But we are as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. Why would God ever say that our good deeds are like filthy rags? Why would he say that? Because our good deeds are our good deeds. And by what does God want to save us? His redemption. His righteousness. His justification. Our good deeds are condemned because they belong to us. We're saved only by that which belongs to the Lord. God. Over in John chapter 15, verse 5, we read the words, without him, without me, ye can do nothing. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who, that's Jesus, knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Any righteousness that we have, we're overshadowed by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It all comes from him. But also, the Lord's salvation brings glory to himself. I love sharing this with congregations. I am sure that most congregations don't know this verse. Isaiah chapter 43. Please turn there. Please mark this. Please meditate on this. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. Now ask yourself the question before I read, why did God save you? Oh, because he loves me, and he wants me to go to heaven, and he wants to exalt me. It's me, 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 me. Me, me, me. My name is Jimmy. Give it to me. Now, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. I, that would be God, even I am he that blotteth out thy transgression. Now, underline it in the next couple of words. For mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. God forgives all of his children for his glory, not for you. Please keep that in mind. Do you remember the song way back? You're so vain. You probably think the song is about you. Remember that song? We could sing to the Christians, you're so vain. You probably think God's salvation is about you. It's not. It's all about him. Okay? And we need to give all the glory to him because his salvation belongs to him. And then the Lord's salvation can be fully realized by the saints. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Many of our ancestors taught their children, you can't really know that you're going to heaven. Were you taught that? And do you believe it? You can't really know that you're going to heaven. I got another story. I hope I'm not going too long. Do y'all like my stories? I've got another story. I knew a pastor by the name of C, that's just a letter, Jack Orr. He lived in York, Pennsylvania. Well, C. Jack Orr took his wife, Millie, to a church service where some doctor was preaching. And the doctor was preaching how he knew that he was saved. And while he was preaching, C. Jack Orr, who was not saved at the time, got madder and madder and madder. Finally, the service let out, and he went to the car. He got in the car with Millie, and he started to rant and rave. How can that doctor say that he knows that he's going to go to heaven? Nobody can know that they're going to go to heaven. And then Millie started to cry. Why are you crying? I'm not yelling at you. I'm crying because I know I'm going to go to hell. Well, then C. Jack Orr had a new source of anger. You're not going to go to hell. You're a wonderful woman. You're the best woman I've ever heard, seen, okay? You're not going to hell. Jack, what's wrong with you, man? You get mad at the doctor because he says he's going to go to heaven. You get mad at me because I say I'm going to go to hell. Man, there's only one of two places we can go. Boom! It sunk in. And he started to read his Bible. And he came to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And was a well-known pastor in Dover, Pennsylvania. Okay? Just outside of York. He was taught, no, you can't know that you're going to heaven. But that's wrong. Take a look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Mark that if you've never seen it before. That you may know that you have eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. We had a dear brother. I think he was a brother. George, attend the church that I last pastored. We must have called the ambulance four times to take Brother George to the hospital. He collapsed by the end of the service. And I went to visit him. The first time I went, Brother George, do you know if you're going to go to heaven when you die? Then he gave the answer which I preached against. I hope so. Wrong answer. And I told him about 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Where's a piece of paper or where's a pencil? I want to write that down. I'll take a look at it. And he wrote it down. And he did look at it. Well, about the fourth time we called the ambulance, I took Roxanne with me. And this time Roxanne said, "Brother George, are you going to go to heaven when you die?" I know what that Bible verse says. But I still don't know if I'm going to go to heaven when I die. I preached his funeral. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. But I don't know if that man is in heaven or hell. Because the only way to salvation is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, friend, you've heard teachings about salvation today. And I trust that the Christians have been truly blessed by the Word of God. But my friend, have you received Jesus? It's important. If you never have, now is the day of salvation. Just as Paul spoke to that Philippian jailer, believe now. It's important. Please turn to Jesus. And in doing so, you'll turn away from all other things of this earth. Please bow your hearts and heads in a word of prayer. Christians, be praying. You know what to pray right now. My friend, if you have never asked Jesus to be your Savior, but you'd like to have him as your Savior right now, could you let me know? And right at this time, I'll only pray for you. Yes, I will see your hand. I'll be able to identify you, yes. But I'll only pray. I will not call you out in public. Would you raise your hand and indicate that you would like to have prayer, that you receive Jesus as Savior? Anyone, I am going to wait a little bit. I know that it can be scary to make such a decision, but it's for your own good. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a son, a daughter of God. Is there one? Father, I always ask you to bless your word. I may be doing the talking, but you are doing the convicting. You are demonstrating the truth. I pray, Father God, that you will help every child of God to rejoice in their salvation and proclaim it as being wonderful. And then, Lord, if there's any who have never received Christ as Savior, may they do so before it's eternally too late. I pray this in your Son's name. Amen.